Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Birum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birum Baum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Putting on the Ritz. Different types of wear, a day coat, pants with stripes, and cutaway coat, perfect fits.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live here, 1480 AM Studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, everyone. This is Dave Isaac, the host, alongside Joseph Erdo and Greg Isaac. I love that music, by the way. Where'd you get that, Joseph?
This is from The Call. Again, Taco.
The Call?
What?
The Call.
Taco.
Yeah, Taco.
Taco?
Yes. It is Putting on the Ritz by Taco.
I don't get it.
It's not an actual taco.
Oh, I love tacos from Taco Bell. The Uncola.
Filberto's.
No, the Unburger. Okay.
I love Filberto's.
Oh, I've never been there.
Okay, I'll take
Greg,
you sometime.
Have you?
It is very good.
Yes.
See, Taco Bell is just, it's, well, I don't eat any of that stuff anymore anyways, but
you like it?
Were, Taco Bell is just generic.
Well, the meat.
But when you go to a different place, one of the smaller little shops, yeah, or places like Filiberto's or Roliberto's, or, you know.
And they don't even call the meat Taco Bell beef or anything anymore. They call it protein.
Absolutely.
They do?
Yeah. Yes.
Eric, do you like Taco Bell?
Regardless of where you go, you'll have plenty of visiting time in small amounts. Bathroom.
I'm not really a meat eater.
Oh, okay. You're a vegetarian.
Right. That's right. Well, I'm not a very strict vegetarian, but I try to avoid meat.
Oh, okay.
But Dave likes hot dogs.
No, I don't.
Oh, no, he doesn't like hot dogs.
That's the worst thing.
Hot dogs are the worst.
I saw this movie, not movie, but a TV series, reality, Wife Swap. Ever see that?
Yes.
It's sort of interesting, isn't it? They have some meanings that people start doing transformations, changing based on the other wife giving orders.
Where is this coming from?
I know.
No, because last night this guy, it was John Booker, who was the champion, hot dog champion.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, and so they swapped wives, and his new wife was this world champion boxer.
And hated hot dogs.
And no, she hated the guy. I mean, the guy was 410 pounds, and he could eat like all these hot dogs in like 12 minutes.
That made me sick.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really weird, like 59 or something.
Yeah.
Have you heard of him, John Booker?
Well, now I know who he is.
Yeah. But he's the wing-eating champion. He's egg-eating champion.
All you can eat wings at Hooters tomorrow, or Monday.
Really?
Ah. Yeah.
Wow. Where Dave will be.
He would have been there anyway.
Really? Well, all you can eat wings?
Yeah.
For how much?
I don't know.
$19.95.
I think $12.99 or something like that.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, or $11.99. But anyway.
Tomorrow, Monday.
Before our guest.
Oh, that's Labor Day.
Yeah, Labor Day.
Oh, no, that's Sunday. Okay.
Before we bring on our guest, we have another Pete, and we have, so Christian Petrie will be joining us in just a moment, but let's do another one of our trivia questions. Again, we're celebrating car movies, car chase movies. Abigail Breslin was locked inside of a car trunk for 15 minutes at a time during the filming of The Call. Which of the following statements was said by a caller into the 911 center during the film's opening scene and is actually from a real 911 call? Again, Eric's in the lead with 4, Greg has 1, Dave, you have 0.
And I've seen this movie, so I should know.
And I haven't.
What's the name of the movie?
I probably won't know.
The Call.
Hmm.
A, I think I'm having an overdose and so is my wife. B, I'm on the toilet and somebody just crashed their car into my bathroom. Oh. Or C, I heard something downstairs and I think that it is my ex-wife coming to get me.
A.
B.
I'm going to say A because Eric's seen it. Let's hope he has a good memory.
I'm surprised that, Dave, you probably were the last one that, making that phone call, by the way, C, about the ex-wife. But the answer is A.
Oh, wow. I'm just getting way
Even though I don't get closer to Eric, at least I get the
point. Riding my coattails again.
Yeah.
I have to. That's what I got to do. And then at the bonus question, that's where I sing.
The line was made famous by Edward Sanchez, a policeman who confiscated marijuana from a suspect and then made brownies with it. He called 911 when he thought he'd taken too much.
Really?
Can you take too much?
I don't know. Can you?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I may have a little experience with
that. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
The views expressed on this program are not. Okay. Anyway, so, Joseph.
Yes.
Great guest today.
Yes. Who do we have joining us?
Christian Petrie, actress, bounty killer coming out. Christian, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
You're more than welcome. Thank you for joining Breakthrough Entertainment, and I'm going to give you back to our movie reviewer, Joseph Erdo.
Well, thank you, Christian, so much for joining us. This movie is available. It's called Bounty Killer. It's available on video on demand beginning Friday, September 6th, and also in a few cities throughout the country as well. You can see it in the theater. But in this movie, bounty killers compete for body count, fame, and a fat stack of cash as they end a plague of corporate greed and provide survivors of an apocalypse with retribution. Your character is Mary Death. You're described as beautiful and dangerous. She will slit your throat, but with a big smile. Tell us about that. What is this character?
This character is, she's a blast, man. Like they said, she's very sexy and confident, but at the same time, she's a very dangerous killer. She's a good guy, though. A lot of people have been mistaking her for a bad guy. She's not. She's good. She fights for the right team.
Oh, yeah.
But her and the other bounty killers are setting the world, right again. It's 20 years past the corporate wars. The corporations have fought for rule over the earth and destroyed it. And now a Council of Nine has put death warrants out on these guys. And she's the most famous bounty killer that's going out and setting things right again.
See, I think that's interesting and very timely with Wall Street controversies and all that, and how corporations, big corporations, are viewed sort of as the bad guys, and also viewed somewhat politically as controlling the government. And I think this is a timely film. Talk a little bit about that. Is that part of what attracted you to this film?
You know, there were so many other things that attracted me first, and this is a project that these guys have had going on for a long time. So it's kind of been, you know, an issue that relates to society right now for quite a few years now. So, but, you know, when you watch the movie, we're not taking this too seriously. You know, we're not really promoting going out and killing CEOs or any type of violence for that matter.
Well, see, we were trying to explain to Dave a little earlier a B movie, because this is kind of in the style of B movies, right? Your favorite midnight horror movies. Tell us a little bit about you know, what that means for Dave from an insider's point of view.
From an insider's point of view, well, I'm actually learning about all of this myself. You know, so there's definitely a specific genre for this. I don't know, an insight on it. I'm learning myself. This is my first one. But it's not horror, though you say midnight horror movies. Bounty Killer is really not. It's more of a comedy than anything. I think people mistake it for that because it's extremely gory, almost in a cartoonish way because it's so over the top. But it's fun to watch, though, because, like I said, you can't take it seriously. So you can definitely sleep at night afterwards.
Right. There's a lot of if we've seen the trailer and we see that there's a lot of you know, blood and your character does some interesting things to some of the other characters, and you know, so was that fun? Tell us about the special effects. They looked practical as opposed to you know, these things that look fake and CGI.
No, most of them are real. Yeah. We had a guy named Chris Kubzina, who was a finalist on Face Off actually this year, this season. And he's just amazing. He told me one day, because I kept asking him, how do you do this? How do you even think of these things? You know, it's almost disturbing. And he says he watches movies and watches them and watches them and just finds things that haven't been done before. And it's important to him, you know, to be able to actually do the gig. Like you said, it's not fake. It's, you know, he's really figured out a way to make this head explode in half. And have brains seep out of it. I don't know.
Wow.
He's really a genius at what he does, though, so we were really lucky to have him. And just when you see the movie, you'll see how much of his genius went into it. And Henry as well, the director, he's the one who comes up with these ideas, and somehow Chris, you know, manifests them.
I'm looking forward to seeing this, no question about it. I was reading a little bit about yourself. It looked like you started around age 7 in beauty pageants, modeling, and local commercials. Is that when you started, and what was your passion about going into the entertainment business?
Oh, I just wanted to be a part of it. It seemed so far away. It seemed like another planet, you know, where people were making these movies and doing these TV shows that I grew up and loved so much. But I knew that if people were out there doing it, I could be one of them someday. So, yeah, you're right. Even as a little kid, I used to sit and watch soap operas with my mom, and I would write letters to the studios telling them who I could be in the soap opera if they would write me in. She never sent them out, but yeah, it's one of those things that I've just always really, really wanted to be here and be a part of this world.
What's some of your favorite soap operas from when you were growing up?
Oh, growing up, it was definitely Days of Our Lives. And yes. I always had in the back of my head that I was going to come here and I was going to do, you know, a 2-year contract with Days of Our Lives and start out that way. It didn't exactly work out that way, but it was definitely my favorite growing up.
Not All My Children?
No, I didn't. Well, I should say my mom didn't watch that, because I think you kind of get instilled, you know, whatever it is your parents are watching when you're little, if you're going to end up following any stories, it's going to be what you were introduced to. So.
Now, would you have wanted to play on Days of Our Lives an interesting character like Sammy Brady, or maybe a villain like Nicole?
Well, you know, I always thought I would want to be a good guy, but now after playing this, you know, I mean, like I said, Mary is a good guy, but after playing this type of role, I really think a villain would be fun. I mean, you get to have so much fun with it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, your feature film debut was Crazy Stupid Love. We were talking about this film a little bit earlier. and, you know, so tell us a little bit about that film. You know, you start alongside Steve Carell and Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone, a huge cast in that.
Oh, yes. It was pretty amazing. And it was kind of just a stroke of luck. I was there that day just cast as a waitress in one of the scenes, and they didn't use me, and then they didn't use me the next day, and finally they came to me and said, listen, Steve's got this idea. He wants to use you for this little part. Would you mind shooting with us? And I was like, would I mind? Steve Carell and Ryan Gosling, I'm there. So the only thing that the director told me was, I want you to just come around the corner and emanate sexiness. And I almost hit the floor. My heart just dropped. I'm like, oh, gosh, you want me to be sexy? Like, try to be sexy? So I went to the bathroom and was kind of practicing in front of the mirror. But after I shot with him, I went and took some pole dancing classes just to make sure that if anyone ever tells me to be sexy again, I don't freak out or pass out.
Oh. So then what kind of tips do you have for pole dancing? Is that something that you would recommend that people get into?
You know, I would tell all kinds of girls just to try it. I mean, if you're in the class, the lights are low. No one's looking at you. There's all different types of people in there. But it's such a liberating way of working out, you know, and you kind of learn how the woman's body moves. I would never do it in front of anyone, but... But it's a fun thing to learn, and it really gives you a confidence about, you know, just your sensuality as a woman.
I think it's getting popular. I've heard some friends of mine saying there's, like, for women, married women, they have these pole dancing things just... You know,
you're going to take it up next week,
well,
right? Dave?
No, I'm not going to take it up. No, great.
Dave's not going
really
to.
Hard.
No,
just
don't. But no, it is great though. Pole dancing for the women, fantastic. I will say this though, Christian, is that your scene there in Crazy Stupid Love was one of the funniest in the entire film because poor Steve Carell. Everything that he had gone through, you know, with what had happened with Julianne Moore in the film, and it's a great film, one of my favorites of 2011. But here you are, coming around, sexy, beautiful, walking his way. His audience were all like, oh, there we go. Steve Carell is going to get this woman. And then you deliver the check.
Yeah, it was really fun working with those guys.
So what else after Bounty Killer can people, you know, what can we look for you in? Do you have any other projects?
There's a couple of possible ones on the line, not things that I can mention out loud yet, but they're definitely in the same, you know, style as this kind of a role, the action adventure, getting to do stunts and just kind of getting to be, you know, a strong female character. So I'm really excited to see which one it's going to be and what we're going to end up doing. I'm just excited to be in this whole genre of filmmaking now.
Excellent. Well, we cannot wait to see this film. Again, it's called Bounty Killer. It is playing on video on demand in a few cities throughout the country beginning next weekend. And we had on actress Christian Petrie. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot, Christian. Wow, that sounds great. And I'm going to have to see that movie again, of course, Crazy Stupid Love.
Yes, you will.
Yeah. That is a good movie. I very much enjoyed that.
And Emma Stone, I keep mentioning her, she grew up here in the Valley.
Yeah, from Scottsdale.
Yeah. Wow, let's get her on the show, too.
I interviewed her a few years ago. Actually, right after Superbad, I interviewed
you did?
Emma Stone.
Yes.
Yeah, and I visited her mom's house, and, you know, excellent place.
That movie was appropriately named.
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was great.
It was crazy. It wasn't. You're getting the stupid part? No.
Super bad.
He's thinking Superbad.
Oh, Superbad.
That's arguably my favorite movie of all time.
No, that was sort of cool.
That was hilarious.
What's wrong with you?
That was a fantastic chick flick.
I'm not a fan of those guys, man. Seth Rogen and
McLovin.
Hill.
Hill. I don't like him.
McLovin. He was in Kick A.
Yeah, Kick Ass 2, the villain, mother
Kick
lover.
A.
Yes, the mother lover.
Well, before
we gotta say mother lover, we can't say his real name.
We can't say his. Yeah. So let's.
He was good in that role.
Yeah, he
was great.
Yeah. He's a great actor.
Yeah.
So our next song that's gonna take us into the break is by April March, "Chick Habit" from Death Proof. We mentioned that film earlier, right, Quentin Tarantino?
Yes, I got the name wrong, but we did mention it.
But you're still leading 4-1-0.
2-0. Greg's got two.
Oh, see, what I want to do is stay within a short distance of him to make sure with this bonus question I can...
I want to stay in a long distance.
All you have to do is just give the same answers I'm giving. And
I will.
Yeah, that's right.
But every other question I do have to answer before you to make it fair, I guess.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. All right, so from this question about Death Proof, which of the following statements describes how writer-director Quentin Tarantino claims he came up with the idea for Death Proof? A, he saw a news story on television about a doomsday prepper who tricked out his vehicle to withstand the end of the world. B, he liked a statement made by his friend about taking any car to a stunt team and having them make it death-proof for $10,000 or $15,000. Or C, he had met a man who was in prison for kidnapping women and later heard that the day he got out, he went for a joyride and died in a fiery car crash.
C.
B.
Greg says C. Dave says B.
B.
Oh, yeah.
It's B.
Oh, Eric.
Dave, you're finally on the board.
Oh, thank you, Eric.
Yeah.
Hey, you followed me this time.
Yes, but I was going to pick that one anyway.
Oh, see, it showed I really...
You were probably having doubts about it after.
Wow, 5-1 to 1. I'm within bonus range.
His friend,
5-2 to 1.
His friend his friend made the statement after Tarantino told him that he wanted to buy a Volvo because he didn't want to die in some auto accident like the one in Pulp Fiction. The death proof phrase stuck with Tarantino and he came up with the concept for the film.
Wow.
Oh, is that the one I picked? Okay.
That's the one you picked.
All right. Randomly, whatever.
We random.
Take Dave's point away.
All right. No, I get an extra one for picking, not knowing which one I picked. Okay.
Hey, Dave, who's Christian?
Petrie. Bounty Hunter. I want to see that. The theme is good, even though she said it's sort of a satire somewhat, right?
Yeah, it's comedy.
But I think that's going
to
be
Dave, not every
good.
Movie has to have one of your themes.
I like the theme, though.
Well, what's funny is, though, some of your favorite movies are movies like Superbad, but there is sort of a theme still with that regarding the separation of Jonah Hill and Michael Cera. But you just got to have fun sometimes.
Emma Stone was in that.
You know, Dave knows how to have fun, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
He'll tell us about it later.
Yeah, he once had a glass of Moscato. Let me tell you.
I like it better than Riesling, though. Can you believe it? I don't know why. Okay, anyway, let's go on a quick break, and when we come back, we will continue our discussion in the world of entertainment live here at 1480 AM Studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. As we leave this break, Joseph is dancing. I think he's going to get on the table. Never heard that song. Very good. Hey, it says Death... What?
Death Race.
Death Race, and we'll be right back.
Money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today. 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerenbaum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scott, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Come with me and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look and you'll see into your imagination. We'll begin with a spin, traveling in the world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation.
And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment, brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network, live here, 1480 AM Studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. That was a good song. I think that was the remake with Johnny Depp.
No, that was...
Lou was dead by then.
Right, Lou Rawls.
Then that was not the remake.
Lou's a local guy, too. Was a local guy,
too. Oh, really?
Yeah, I had drinks with him a couple times.
Oh, you did?
Wow. Yes.
How was he?
Very nice man.
Very cool.
What did he drink?
I don't remember. Beer, probably?
Oh.
No, what did I drink again? Moscato? Moscato? What's it called?
Yes, Dave.
Okay,
yes,
whatever
we'll
it was.
We'll leave it at yes.
Mustachio. Yeah. All right, that movie, that song.
Willy Wonka?
Well, that's not it was from that, but it's not a car chase movie. It was also in a movie called Hit and Run.
Oh.
Starring Matthew Shepard. Dax Shepard. Matthew Shepard, what? Dax Shepard.
Well, how'd you get Matthew?
I don't know. All right. So that of course.
How'd you get Robert?
I have no idea.
Did I get 2 points?
Yeah. Who's Christian? The Yeah, so you've got, you have 1 point. Greg has 2 points.
Oh, I only have 1 point, Eric?
Yes.
I don't remember, but yeah, this sounds about right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Eric has 6 points.
One or nothing.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I think it was one. You're right.
The production budget for Hit and Run was about $2 million, which is much lower than that of most of other movies. Which of the following is not a way that writer-director-star Dax Shepard kept the cost so low? A, most of the cast members did their own stunt driving. B, Shepard used his own cars from his own personal collection. C, Shepard shot only one take for each scene, including the complicated car chases.
B.
Or D, he used his own girlfriend.
That's actually another one of the reasons, yes. But
so which is not a reason?
Not a reason. So
one
you
more
said
time.
B.
So A is most of the cast members did their own stunt driving. B, Shepard used his own cars from his own personal collection. And C, Shepard shot only one take for each scene, including the complicated car chases. Dave says B. Greg?
Oh, boy. It's C.
Okay. Yeah. Greg says C?
I want to go with C, but I just don't know how you could shoot a movie just doing one take.
Right.
I mean, that sounds pretty tough.
But it's not. This is not.
Yeah,
it's not.
That's
not.
Why.
Okay, that's it then.
So that's it?
So don't choose it, Eric.
That is it. About half of that $2 million production budget was to secure music rights. Greg and Eric get the points.
There we go. I stay with them.
6-3-1.
7-3-1.
Hope the bonus point's worth 10.
We'll make it interesting. Trust me. Before we do that, we will talk a little bit about our last film today. So we had one thumbs down for Getaway. We had a thumbs up for
Short Term 12.
And now let's talk a little bit about Instructions Not Included. This is playing throughout the valley. Eugenio Derbez plays a man whose life as Acapulco's resident playboy comes to a screeching halt when a former fling leaves a baby on his doorstep and takes off without a trace. However, after spending 6 years establishing himself as an unlikely father figure, he finds himself in danger of losing his daughter and his best friend. I know you said that the trailer didn't have subtitles. I'm sorry that I sent you that, right?
Yeah, I didn't see the subtitles, and I had to learn evidently now Spanish. I thought it was Italian, and I was studying up on my Italian.
I promise you that the movie itself does have subtitles. I sent you the wrong trailer. I'm sorry.
Oh, you did?
Yes. This is, yes.
They spoke a few words in English.
Right. There's a few. Sorry.
Like one word.
And I think they put the subtitles in Spanish for the English.
Yeah, thing. I thought it was Italian, so I had to learn real quick.
Eugenio Derbez. You didn't know? Greg, I'm sure, knows Eugenio Derbez, right?
Yeah.
Everyone knows Eugenio Derbez.
What's he from? What TV
he's
show?
He's a brother-in-law of...
Rob.
Yes.
Rob, come on now.
Oh.
A show I've never seen, but during I know the break, he's from Rob.
Yeah, people don't know. Rob. During the break, he didn't. He's never seen Rob. Yeah. I'm surprised you haven't seen Rob.
I haven't seen Rob.
It was a great TV show. Lasted only one season, unfortunately.
I'll have to... even though it lasted 1 year, I'm sure Netflix or someplace has something.
Yes. He was very funny on that show, and mm-hmm. I'm told that he is the Jim Carrey of Mexico or something.
Really?
I don't know. Yeah.
Do we really need one of those?
Yeah, really.
I don't know. Maybe he's going to star in Kick-Ass 3.
No.
Kick-Ass 3, Kick Behindo. I don't know. Wow, I am not good on off the cuff. Anyway, do not be misled by instructions not included. It's ill-suited title. It suggests that this is a movie all about some harebrained hijinks that takes place when this guy is thrust into fatherhood. There's some comedic moments, of course, in this movie. They're genuinely comedic moments, but it's actually an affectionately heartfelt tale of understanding our parents' peculiar methods and appreciating life's inconvenient detours, no matter how brief they may be. It's tender, it's touching, ultimately tragic twist at the end that will tear your emotions in two while simultaneously strengthening your belief that everything happens for a reason. It's something that I truly believe. Everything happens for a reason. Needless to say, this is a breakthrough.
Oh, wow, a breakthrough.
We have a breakthrough on today's show.
Oh, my gosh, I was going to see that last night.
2 weeks in a row.
You would have loved it, I promise you.
It was too late, though.
Oh.
It was past my bedtime.
Mine, too, probably.
But the trailer looked cute, despite the language barrier. I couldn't see the subtitles, like I said. But it looked pretty good. I was trying to read their nonverbal behavior, and I go, oh, that's probably what's happening.
Well, you could have looked up another trailer for it.
No, I just take your trailers.
Oh, okay.
That would be cheating if I took another trailer.
Right. All right. Well, before we go into the theme, let's have Eugenio Derbez. Again, breakradioshow.com. Click on archive or on the article section, and you can listen to the full interview with Eugenio Derbez that I had. And I think that we'll also play it on Thursday's show.
Is it in subtitles?
No.
Oh.
He does speak English. But let's see what Eugenio Derbez has to say about the theme of this movie.
I would like them to think that sometimes life puts in front of you these kind of challenges, like in this case, fatherhood. And sometimes life comes with surprises, like maybe suddenly being a father or mother, or maybe losing your job, or any kind of issue. And you think it's the worst thing ever. And maybe a little bit later you realize that that was an obstacle you need to overcome to be a better human being. So you have to face life, even though it comes with instructions not included.
Yes, life comes with surprises and not many instructions, and while something may initially seem to be an inconvenience or possibly even the end of the world, it's often that it is an obstacle that you need to overcome in order to become a better human being. I truly, truly believe this. That's why I love this movie so much. It is a breakthrough. So tell me a little bit about what you think about this theme, Dave.
Well, the theme could apply in many different ways, and I didn't see the movie. I did see the trailer in Italian, not Spanish. Now, life is definitely full of surprises. I think that's why it's called life. And it reminds me of the definition of luck, where preparation meets opportunity. People say, oh, you're lucky. But I truly believe when you're prepared and you can see opportunities, those are the two variables that really create luck. So it's not someone's lucky. They're prepared. And they're so aware that they see opportunities every day, every second of their life. Now, being prepared means, of course, being your best. So you just can't just sit back and wait for something to happen. You have to be always upgrading your skill sets, transform your disempowering beliefs into empowering beliefs. Know the role you're playing. I suspect this had a big part of that, knowing, you know, one day he wasn't a father and the next day he is a father, and knowing that role, what it means, how you play it to your best, and just always thinking of thinking differently. And evidently that's probably part of this movie.
Yes, it is. It all is. And, you know, again, they do this theme so well. Yeah, it's a really heartfelt movie. I wouldn't be surprised if you tear up a little bit during it.
Very cool. Yeah,
especially the end. Like I said, the end, I don't want to reveal it, but there's a little twist at the end. It's heartbreaking.
Wow, really?
Yes.
Ooh.
You're going to walk out maybe a different person. It's one of those movies.
Oh, that's good. Those are the best type of movies.
They certainly are.
Life-changing.
Yeah. So again, instructions not included. A big thumbs up. Big breakthrough. And so let's do, before we go into our next break, which we'll we will have Apollo 440 Can't Stop the Rock from Gone in 60 Seconds. Let's do another trivia question here. We're celebrating.
The score 7-3-1.
Very good.
Eric is in the lead.
Which of the following statements about Gone in 60 Seconds is true? Which one is true? A. Nicolas Cage did most of his own stunt driving for the film and continues to pursue the hobby to this day. B. Jennifer Aniston was originally cast as the character portrayed by Angelina Jolie, but was let go because she did not know how to drive a manual transmission and refused to learn. Or C. Giovanni Ribisi accidentally crashed and totaled a Shelby GT500 that was loaned to the production on the promise that it would be returned to its owner in perfect condition.
C.
Dave says C.
It's either A or C. C.
Ooh.
Greg says C. Eric?
What was A again?
A was Nicolas Cage did most of his own stunt driving for the film and continues to pursue that the hobby to this day.
A.
Very true. That's it.
Oh, Eric.
Eric gets the point. In preparation for the film, Cage attended the Bondurant Driving School in Phoenix. In addition, this is like a Valley show, isn't it? In addition,
because most Phoenix people can drive, so it's interesting that they have the driving course out here.
I've heard that comment.
Yes, I agree with
people.
That.
Yes. I don't know. I thought Phoenix people can drive. But anyway, in addition to the Willow Springs Driving School and the Bobby Orr Stunt Driving School. And
wow.
Yeah.
The Bobby Orr.
Wasn't he a hockey player?
Yeah, Bobby Orr.
He's a stunt driver.
I have no idea.
Bobby Orr who? Really? You sure it's Bobby Orr? We want to do a fact check.
You can do a fact. Well, that's
not part
of the
question. Was this a presidential debate?
Pocahontas.
Yeah, but what about Bobby Orr?
I don't know. Look it up during the break. Let's.
I'm looking it up now.
Oh,
yeah, we're gonna.
Why
check
everyone
this
wants
out.
To call me out of, on things today?
Wow, that's amazing. So the score now is Eric 8, Greg 3.
Yes.
Dave
1.
1.
Yeah. Well, we got our news or false coming up in the next segment.
So I could make a comeback.
Oh, you're right. There is another Bobby Orr.
There is. Who is it?
Yes.
Bobby Orr Motorsports.
Yes.
Wow.
O R E.
Hey.
O R E.
Don't doubt me anymore.
You're right. You are right on.
Yes.
He has some swag to him. Look
yes.
at this, Greg. You see that? He's like really, really playing the part. Okay. Anyway, let's go into the break right now. When we come back, we will do what? News or false?
Yes. And of course.
Oh, this sounds like a good musical tune.
This is from Gone in 60 Seconds.
And who is it by?
From the Apollo 440.
Apollo 440?
Never heard of him.
That's a great speed skater.
Yes.
Apollo 440.
Yes.
Or it could have been 9 before Apollo 13.
Right.
Okay, Tom Hanks. Anyway, this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live here at 1480 AM Studios KPHX. I've heard this song, actually. That's me singing in that great voice. All right, and we'll be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment here live, 1480 AM Studios, KPHX, brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. And Eric, you said this is one of the best bass players ever. Who is it?
It's John Deacon.
Really? Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Bites the dust.
But, I mean, that is Freddie singing.
Yeah.
Freddy Krueger?
It sounds like you labeled it as John Deacon.
I have no idea why. I don't know.
But it is. It's his queen, right?
I think so, yeah.
Oh.
I don't know.
It's a remix or something? I don't know.
Yeah, come on, Joseph.
I'm sorry. I can't
you
be great
apologize.
At everything.
We forgive you. I don't know. What are we forgiving you for?
I don't know. It's not really a forgiving
Greg, are we thing. Forgiving him for something?
No, we're forgiving you.
Oh, yeah,
for
I only have two.
One point.
Only 1 point? Let's get back to news or false so I can catch up.
Well, of course.
Eric, leading 8-3-1.
Yes, and before we get to news or false, let's do a question. That song, of course, was in The Fast and the Furious. We could not do a movie about car movies without talking about Fast and Furious.
Oh, I
right?
love that. Still, that's one of my favorites.
Still not my favorite. My favorite,
oh.
we'll talk about at the end of the show.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
But, you know, so only two domestic vehicles were driven by the principal cast in the Fast and the Furious film. This is the first one, okay? Which of the following was not one of them? These other two were in the movie. Which one was not? A, a 1970 Dodge Charger. B, a Ford F-150 Lightning. A C, a 1999 Chevy Malibu.
You said B. Not in the film?
Not in the
B.
film.
B.
Dave says B.
What was A again?
A was a Dodge Charger, 1970 Dodge Charger.
What was B?
B, Ford F-150 Lightning, and C was a Chevy Malibu.
C, Chevy Malibu.
Eric, which
B.
one?
B.
Is B a truck?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm going with B then.
Paul Walker drove a truck. It is C.
Oh,
1999 Chevy Malibu. There
who
were
would
more
drive a Chevy Malibu. No, nothing with the Chevy Malibu. It's a nice car.
I know people who drive a 1999 Chevy Malibu.
No, and no,
not me, but
no,
sometimes.
No. I meant in the racing context.
I'm taking
of
your point away
because Paul Walker, I did remember his truck, but yes, that thing, you know, could be
I
fun, souped up.
Yeah. You shouldn't have followed me. You know better to give the same answer.
But I'm just meaning
well,
Chevy
you can't
Malibu
win them all,
for
can
racing.
You?
Right.
Well, there were more than 60 Japanese vehicles in the movie and more than 1,500 cars were at the race wars, many of which were driven by real racers who heard about the scene and wanted to participate in it.
Nice. Yeah. Wow. The score now, Eric, 8, Greg, 4, Dave, 1.
Yes, you're not doing so well. So let's try to catch you up
yes
with some news or false.
That just won't happen, though. We know that.
All right. So, again, news or false, are these true news stories or is it just something that I made up? Okay. First one, Aliens actor Lance Henriksen this week signed on to star in a new creature feature comedy called Stung. Remember I told you about squirrels last week?
Yeah.
And that was a real one.
Yeah.
Now this one called Stung. The story will follow two catering staff employees at a fancy garden party who battle a mutated species of giant wasp. Is that news or is that false?
News.
Dave says news.
Could you repeat the question?
Aliens actor Lance Henriksen, why can't I say that, this week signed on to star in a new creature feature comedy called Stung. The story will follow two catering staff employees at a fancy garden party who battle a mutated species of giant wasp.
Wow, he's never in comedies. But I'm going to say news.
Oh, I said news.
You both said news? Eric?
That's a tough one. He hasn't done anything in years.
Mm-hmm.
Noteworthy.
He won't
I'm gonna
even
say
if it's true.
False.
And everyone's catching up because Eric got that one wrong. It is news.
It won't happen again.
It will.
8-5-2.
In the next 25 seconds.
Here we go.
Matt O'Leary, Jessica Cook, and Peter Stormare also signed on for this project, by the way, which comes courtesy of Benny Diez, who was a visual effects supervisor on Lars von Trier's Melancholia. Really weird movie.
Oh, yeah, that was awful.
Yes, it was. All right.
Oh, with the world coming at the other world? The moon?
Yes.
No, that was with Kirsten Dunst.
That was
Kirsten
depressed. Dunst. Yeah, she was depressed during the whole movie. There was the end of the world.
Something
was happening.
What was up with that movie?
I don't know. Really weird. Good special effects. So, and there, by the way, you look up this wasp movie, Stung. Really cool special effects sequence that they're using to promote the project and get funding and stuff like that. Really, really cool.
And Kiefer Sutherland was in that movie. Kiefer, whatever his name is. And he thought the moon was moving away. He got it wrong. Remember in that movie?
Yes.
And it's called Melancholy.
Melancholia. You get everything wrong, Dave.
No, it is. Right?
Melancholia.
Oh, that one. Okay.
It has an IA on the end.
Oh, no wonder.
He acts so confident. He goes, yeah. All right. So next news or false. Matt Damon is currently in talks to play Robin opposite Ben Affleck's Batman in the upcoming sequel to Man of Steel, which has caused death threats upon director Zack Snyder from members of the internet fanboy community.
News.
False.
Who is it? Who's being cast?
Matt Damon as...
False.
News.
False.
News.
The answer's false. So
you really think
Eric,
they're casting Robin? They're not doing that.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll see.
No.
Damon has said that I am a little older than Ben. I never saw Robin as older than Batman. Somebody sent me a picture, actually, of them two together. It was really funny, but it's safe to say I won't be Robin. Meanwhile, a petition was briefly posted to the White House website asking President Barack Obama to denounce the selection of Ben Affleck. People are not happy about that.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I am. I think he's going to do a great job, and he'll prove everyone wrong.
And Matt Damon is standing behind him saying he will do a great job as well.
Absolutely.
All right, so I'm hoping that Dave gets this one right.
And if not, he'll go Jason Bourne on everyone.
So what is it? 9-5-2.
Yeah, 9-6. No,
I got 2.
6-2.
Six.
Greg's got 6.
Six?
I do.
Yes.
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 Oh.
I'm keeping track. All right, Magic Mike.
What's happening? Now he's going to get this one right.
Yeah. Magic Mike actor Alex Pettifer is currently in talks to play Luke Skywalker's son in the upcoming Star Wars Episode 7. Is that news or false?
News.
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 And everyone gets it right.
Oh, 10.
Got to keep my lead.
7.
And 3. You've got
3. 3 is my favorite number, so this is great that I'm only 3 down. This will be a lot
of
fun.
And I have 3. Okay. That
bonus question.
And just so you know, Peter Pan...
Peter Pan? What's up with Peter Pan?
Yeah, what's he doing these days? So, I haven't seen him in years. Finish. Let me give him a call.
Peter Pan and Tomorrow When the War Began actress Rachel Hurd Wood is in talks to play the daughter of Princess Leia in the project.
Oh,
the
okay.
Yeah. What does that do with Peter Pan?
She was in Peter Pan. You didn't let me finish. And I just like had an image of I'm talking Peter about Pan. Peter Pan
does,
as an actor.
Does Peter Pan use Pam as... cooking.
Go ahead, Joe.
He doesn't use terrible jokes like that.
Okay.
Ignore Dave.
All right. Freddie Prinze Jr.
He only has 3 points.
Freddie Prinze Jr., Matthew Lillard, and Sarah Michelle Gellar are currently in talks to reprise their roles as members of Mystery Inc. in a third theatrical live-action adaptation of Scooby-Doo. Is that news or false?
False.
Dave says false.
I'm going news.
News.
And Dave, you are catching up.
See, I want to stay within 3.
9, 6. 4. Wow, I'm only 2 behind the youngster here.
Warner Brothers Pictures is, however, developing an animated film for the theatrical release based on the classic Hanna-Barbera cartoon series. Charles Roven and Richard Suckle, who produced the studio's
News.
2 live action. This is just a comment about
Same
it.
Same one.
Are also producing this. All right. Calm down. All right, next one. Universal Pictures this week announced that John Goodman, Elizabeth Perkins, Rick Moranis, and Rosie O'Donnell all signed on to star in a proper sequel to 1994's live-action adaptation of The Flintstones. You know, they had the prequel with other actors.
Mm-hmm.
So have they signed on to this proper sequel to 1994's live-action The Flintstones?
Who are they? John Goodman. Goodman.
You get everything.
I'm saying false.
False, because Rick Moranis retired from
Just
acting.
Say the original cast.
News.
Okay, so we have a false, we have a news, and we have, what'd you say?
False, because Rick Moranis is done.
Right. It is. Dave is the only one that gets that one wrong. Wrong.
Wow, he's making a
call.
Wrong.
Wrong.
Oh, wrong.
You got
he's
it wrong.
Not even paying attention.
Because I don't think Rick Moranis
That's news,
would
Eric.
Even come back for
That's
Ghostbusters.
True.
He's
it's
taking
false.
Some time away.
So what? 10...
No, 11. Don't try to keep
track. 11?
Yeah, you're going to confuse me.
Let Joseph and Eric handle it.
All right.
Okay.
Warner Brothers Pictures. By the way, this isn't one of them. This is just a comment about
it. It's a comment.
Warner Brothers Pictures and WWE Studios is, however, developing a direct-to-disc animated film that will involve a prehistoric WWE main event and will feature appearances by Vince McMahon, John Cena, and CM Punk.
Ooh, nice. Yeah. News.
No. All right.
Really?
And by the way, also, singer Kanye West is acting as creative director of a Jetsons movie reboot. That's
More
not
news.
A news or false. That's not, that's just that's
I got
just
extra 2
thing.
Points.
Yeah. All right. So here's your last
Let's
news or
Northwest.
False.
And then the bonus, right?
And of course, our Dave's Random Enlightenment.
But
well.
How about the bonus? I can catch up.
We're you not
can,
there yet.
We're not there yet. Oh. Calm down.
Okay, here we go.
Patience. Calm down.
All right. Down. Down.
All right. Actress Idina Menzel,
yes.
who's best known for playing Rachel Berry's biological mother on Glee, right?
No.
No, you don't know? No?
Glee.
Okay, Glee. She's best known for playing Rachel Berry's biological mother on Glee. Idina Menzel,
Jones.
Yeah. Signed on this week to star in a big screen adaptation of the Broadway hit musical Wicked.
News.
Dave says news.
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 Greg says news. Everyone says news. Everyone's wrong. That's false.
Wow.
Producer Mark Platt said this past spring that a movie version will happen eventually, but no further details, including casting, has been announced. And the release date remains to be set.
Mm. What's the score?
The score, Eric has 11, Dave has 4, and Greg has 8.
Yeah. So, is
so
there
again,
a 7-point? There's a 7-point.
No, the bonus is only going to be 5.
No, no, it has to be 8.
No
7, at least 7.
No, it's only going to be 5. Dave, you're out of it, but you're going to still play.
Okay.
You're still going to play.
Yes. All right.
So
I could come in second place.
Joseph, by the way, write down the answer for me beforehand just so we. Know.
Sure. Right.
Okay, what is the bonus question?
Well, not we're going to do the bonus question in a moment. I just want to let you know briefly before we do our Dave's Random Enlightenment. That we have, there's a few other movies coming out this weekend. You can read all about them on breakradioshow.com. Click on articles, by the way. And one of them, Harold's Going Stiff. I gave that a thumbs up. We had on the writer-director of that. That's playing exclusively at the film bar. Mm-hmm. I Declare War, T. terrible, terrible movie. Thumbs Down, playing at Harkin Shea 14. That one's about a bunch of 12-year-olds with guns. It's really weird. Didn't care for that at all. Inch Allah, this is a foreign film. Big thumbs down. And they're playing at Harkins Shea 14. And also Passion, starring Rachel McAdams and Naomi Rapace, playing exclusively at Harkins Valley Art. That one's also got a thumbs down, mild thumbs down. Didn't hate it. So let's do our Dave's
Random. So Harry Going Stiff was the
Harold's
the
Going
long
Stiff.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, that one's a good one. Yeah. So
all I can think about is John Cho right there.
Yeah. Know. Well, let's do our Dave's Random Enlightenment of the week. Of course, in the past, Dave has told us about marriage, gave us some advice on how to sustain a marriage, keep romance alive, a spark alive.
You really wouldn't know.
And you also told us about what it means to be a master practitioner and in neuro-linguistic programming.
Mm-hmm.
And today, I used some of our audio from last week to, you know, you're going to tell us a little bit about if you're stuck on the side of the road. All alone, your vehicle breaks down. Of course, we were talking about Scenic Route, that Josh Duhamel movie. And you know what? You're all alone. What can you do to keep yourself occupied, entertained, maybe a little bit happy? And here's what Dave had to say.
If you're isolated on a road in the middle of nowhere, what are you going to do? You should know how to have happiness. Yeah. Right? I mean, alone time is good, isn't it? 4 hours just floating on a tube? I don't really like hot dogs, but I do have fun myself for apparently no reason. No, I do. It's phenomenal. I mean, here you are, deserted road somewhere, what, in the desert or whatever, and they had a nice crowd there, 90, maybe 100 people, and I did. I sort of liked it. The audience was participating. It looked incredibly scary, and it didn't seem anything socially redeeming. Yeah. Jeepers, creepers.
Yeah, we'll play it.
But absolutely. How about people that really need some birth control? Don't they recommend that anymore? Doozy goo. That's a medical term, isn't it? You know what that means, don't you? I know what I know. I know what I don't know, and I know that I don't know what I don't know. If you don't know what I just said, replay breakradioshow.com. And if you want a date, call in 602-252-1480 right away. And if you have a sister, touchdown Rattlers.
Good stuff there,
nice
Dave.
Nice editing, Joseph.
Wow. Thank you. So.
Wow, I give good advice. When's the
great
film,
stuff there.
When's the
great
film coming stuff. Out?
Yeah, so if you're stuck on the side of the road, just listen to Dave. And
wow.
He'll help you out. He'll help you have fun.
You'll have an audience.
On the side of the road.
And they will participate.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so
good
thanks.
Times.
Wow,
times.
You're more than welcome. We'll have a whole group of these enlightenments.
Yeah, and you just you coined the new phrase, a little bit perverted, but you said 4 hours just floating on a tube.
There yeah, that's right. That was interesting.
Yes. All right. So let's do our final trivia question.
We'll
our last song.
Back. This is worth 5 points?
This is worth
we'll
5 points.
Complete.
Dave cannot win.
But I can take second.
You can take second, sure.
But you won't be.
Yeah, and Greg, you can possibly win. Right now, Eric is in the lead. The song that we're going to be playing to end the show today is...
Uh-oh, not music.
No, it's not music. But the song is by Billy Idol. It's from Speed. It's called Speed, my favorite car movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mine, too. That and The Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, so it's great. So let's... Yes. So here, grab your pieces of paper here.
I am.
Of course,
here we go.
Eric will answer first after you guys write yours down. And go ahead and... All right, so...
I'm penless.
Without going over, here's a pen. Without going over, what is the speed at which this bus in Speed must stay above to prevent the bomb from going off? Without going over, what is the speed at which the bus in Speed must stay above to prevent the bomb from going off? So do you have, go ahead, write it down.
I answered that first. I know this one.
And Eric, what's your answer?
80.
And the answer.
You're over.
Is 50, and both of Greg and Dave both said 50.
Whoa.
So that means that
did I just lose?
Yes
you
just lost. That's amazing.
So
that's never I didn't catch up before. To you,
so
I have 9 now.
Dave has 9. Eric has 11, and Greg now wins the
unbelievable comeback, ladies and gentlemen.
This is he just
He's got, I can't add, 18.
I appreciate you asking that question. 18. I asked you to ask before
18?
The show.
No,
so he doesn't have 18.
He doesn't, 13.
Yeah.
13, sorry.
Well, we'll say 18.
13, either way, he wins.
The more I win by, the better it sounds.
Wow, yeah. Can you believe that? Wow, now. Eric, but it was a nice try. You were in the lead up to the last second.
I win every week, so I...
You now have to go...
He had to let me do it once.
You have to go on a desolated road like I did. Take my advice. Take my tape recording.
Go on a tube for 4 hours.
And you will float on a tube as well. We'll be right back with Paige DeMichels on Breakthrough Sports. Real
Calgary
Hockey Talk.
Flames preview.
Yeah, we're going to do a lot. And Joseph, thank you. Eric, thank you. We'll see you in a second, of course. And we'll be right back. Headlights coming at you. When I woke up this morning, I had to do what I got to do. Blast me to heaven for loving you. Me to heaven for loving you. This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.